Folks, there's lots more acorns at the front, okay? So if you want to get one after the service, come and pick up your own from the tray here. And go plant an oak tree, see what happens. I think our PowerPoint is not working, Ian, is that right? Okay, Ian, can we do an alternative? Are you able to bring up the Bible text? Yeah? Can you just go to 2 Kings chapter 5 and see if we can start reading that from the start? So we're going to the Old Testament. If you've got a Bible with you, you can follow along. We're in 2 Kings chapter 5. And the start of 2 Kings is pretty cool because there's lots of amazing stories about this guy called Elisha, who's a prophet. And there's all kinds of things that happen, from floating axe heads to chariots of fire. It's unbelievable what happens. And there's one wee story, actually, in 2 Kings chapter 5, which is about Elisha, but it's almost like he's not the main character in the story. There's a few other characters. We'll go without it. That's fine. I'll just read through the story. We'll unpack the story as we go. Now, there's a guy called Naaman, who is a commander or a general in the army of Aram, which is actually Syria. And Syria is just next to Israel. And they invade this country. I'm not sure if you've ever thought, it may be hard to imagine without the slide up, but you can picture Israel in the Middle East, right? Just on the edge, on the far side of the Mediterranean. And I've often wondered, why would Jesus be born there? What is so significant about that place? Well, it was actually a highway south into Africa, northwest into Europe, and east into Asia. So this is kind of like the center of the world. And you'll see throughout the Old Testament, and in the New Testament with the Romans, that this country keeps on getting occupied time and time and time again. So that's what just happened here. Now, Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army, and the Lord had helped him and his troops defeat their enemies. So the king of Syria respected Naaman very much. Yes, you heard that right. The Lord had helped him and his troops defeat their enemy. And we're like, sorry, I thought God was with Israel. I thought God was with Israel and Judah. Well, perhaps God is bigger than what we think he is. And perhaps God isn't just in church or with the holy or the brave. Perhaps God is active in our world. Perhaps God, when you think about mission, perhaps God is already there. And you read that the king respects Naaman. Why? Because God has helped him. And I think we can brush past something like that so quickly. Now, the thing was, it says that he was a brave soldier, but also that he had leprosy. And leprosy is that horrible skin disease that it can cause kind of blisters and even eat into your bone structure, and you might be left without fingers, and you'll be an outcast from society. So here's a guy who's on one hand got it all, Naaman, brave, victorious, and on the other hand, he's got leprosy. And he'll be wondering about his identity and who he is. Now, one day, while the Syrian troops were raiding Israel, they captured a girl. And she became a servant of Naaman's wife. And sometime later, the girl said, if your husband Naaman would go to the prophet in Samaria, he would be cured of his leprosy. So they raid a country, and they take people captive. I mean, we see it happen now with Ukraine and Russia. There was a story a couple of weeks ago that there were some Ukrainian children that had gone to a children's camp in Russia. And as they were away, the Russians took over that bit of Ukraine, and the kids didn't come back. And there was this one mother who loved her kids so much. She traveled all the way through Crimea, all the way through Russia, through multiple checkpoints. She got to the camp. She said, "I want my daughter back, please." And they said, "No." She said, "I would like my daughter back, please." And somehow she got her daughter back, traveled all the way back through all those checkpoints and back into Ukraine. It's amazing what love can do. It is amazing what love can do. Now, here's a girl who's been captured, right? Away from her home, away from her family. What would you do? You know, surely you'd grumble and be upset, but what does she do? She says to her boss, "You know, if only your husband would go to the prophet, he would be healed." When we're in the dark and in the dumps and in the depth of despair, what do we focus on? Do we focus on ourselves? It's incredible what this girl does, because she still chooses to love. And then, imagine the risk, yeah? Here's the commander of the army, and you just go and tell him that, A, he needs to think about this other religion with his other prophet, and B, that's where healing is. Now, of course, she is a servant girl. She is a slave girl. She doesn't have any right to say any of that. But she takes a risk for God. And the wife, no doubt, loves her husband so much that she passes it on to her husband. And at that point, you could have said, "Nope, take it away, kill her." He could have said anything. But he doesn't, because verse 4, when Naaman told the king what the girl had said, the king replied, "Go ahead. I will give you a letter to take to the king of Israel." Isn't it interesting? We start with a servant girl who notices someone struggling and has got a real heart for them, but also believes there might be a solution. She speaks up. And before we know it, we've got a powerful wife, a general, and two kings involved in this little story. And you know what? We don't even know the girl's name. We might get to know it in heaven, I don't know, but we don't know her name. So, Naaman left and took along 30,000 pieces of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 new outfits. Quite something. He also carried the letter to the king of Israel. It said, "I am sending my servant Naaman to you. Would you cure him of his leprosy?" Now, I've done a bit of research on this, because it talks about the amount of shekels and the pounds of silver and gold. If you translate it into today's value, it'd be 750 pounds of silver. 750 pounds. That is worth 182,000 pounds today. And then the gold pieces would be worth 3 million. So I went to money-saving expert this week, because I thought, you know, in times of austerity, who's better there to help us than Martin Lewis? And I thought there might be some good ideas to what you could do with 3 million. But I didn't end up on just his website with his advice. I ended up in the forum. And I found some really bad ideas there to what to do with 3 million pounds. So somebody says, buy a nice flat in London, rent it out, and travel the world on the income. That's fair enough. And then it goes downhill from there really quickly. Buy a good newspaper subscription for the next 5,000 years. That's a great investment. Someone says, with that kind of money, you can buy 124 tons of Jaffa cakes. And here's a really strange idea. Somebody says, buy a pound shop, your money will go a long way. Somebody says, I would like to buy a rustic cottage in a rural location with enough land for a small holding for rescued animals. I would love a few pigs and goats and sheep and donkeys. I love that. 3 million, I would love some goats and some sheep. Wonderful, wonderful. Somebody says, go and live on a cruise ship. Somebody says, spend it, simples, three words. And somebody said, and I love this is the last one. One person said, I'd gloat over it, and I'd cackle a lot. Wow. Now, what does Elisha do? Let's see what happens. The letter goes to the king of Israel, and the king says, he reads the letter, he tears his clothes, and he shouts it in fear that Syrian kings believe that I can cure this man of leprosy. Does he think that I'm God with the power over life and death? He must be trying to pick a fight with me. So he's seeing all kinds of ghosts and shadows. They're actually not there. And so often we make a decision and we decide and we do something and we run off without properly having looked at what the situation is. But the next verse that says that as soon as Elisha the prophet heard what had happened, he sent the Israelite king this message. Why are you so afraid? Send the man to me so that he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Now, it's interesting because the word know, so that he will know that there is a prophet, that word know has got all kinds of connotations in the original text. It's not just knowing it, hey, I know you, but it is deeply experiencing and acknowledging. You know, it's being hit between the eyes, that kind of thing. I know this, you know. So Elisha is talking about a big thing happening here. So Naaman left with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Imagine you walk out your door tomorrow morning, right? And there's four giant big limousines outside. That's the picture, folks. Giant big limousines, lots of people, you know, suits, maybe guys with walkie-talkies and earpieces and black suits, you know. That's what this entourage would have looked like today. What does Elisha do? He does the craziest thing. You'd be like, if they would show up at your house, wow. Elisha just sent someone outside to say to him, go wash yourself in the river seven times and you'll be completely cured. Elisha doesn't even bother with the fame and the fortune. And again, it's lovely because now a servant is part of the story again. We've gone from servant girl up to kings and back to a servant. Naaman stormed off though, grumbling. Why wouldn't he come and talk to me? You know, he's traveled all that way. I thought for sure he would stand in front of me and pray to the Lord his God, wave his hand over my skin and cure me. What about the Abana River and the Parpar River? They are rivers in Damascus, and they're just as good as any river in Israel. I could have washed in them and be cured. You can see him go off in a huff. But his servants went over to him and said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do anything difficult, would you have done it? So why don't you just do what he said? Go wash and be cured. It's interesting where faith resides, isn't it, in this story? And the things that we expect of God, and the things that we want to see, and the ways we want to do it, maybe are just not God's ways. It's interesting, isn't it, when we read the Beatitudes, blessed are you when, and God brings out all those categories of people who are the lost and lonely and the hurting and the ones who seek God more than riches. Naaman walked down to the Jordan. He waded out into the water. He stooped down in it seven times, just as Elisha had told him, and at once he was cured. His skin became as smooth as a child's. Isn't God amazing? Let me read out a wee text. We're worshiping at Culloden Block Baptist Church at the moment, and this message came through not even 2 weeks ago. It's about a lady whose son had been in hospital, and she got a message from her daughter-in-law. So it's a wife of the husband who writes this. She says, 3 days ago, the wound had grown to 60 millimeters deep. 6 centimeters deep. The doctors and nurses all said he needed to see the surgeon, and he was supposed to go in on Thursday. And we prayed and we took communion on Wednesday night. We went in on Thursday, and then he was sent home because it was canceled. He was told to come back in on Friday at 8 a.m., and 2 hours later, he was sent home, canceled again. He didn't see anyone in between. He was told to go in on Sunday at 8 a.m., and the surgeon explained what he was going to do. And he went down for surgery that afternoon at 3 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, 1 hour later, the surgeon came out and said to me, this is the wife speaking, I didn't have to do anything. He has been healed. The wound is healed very nicely. There was nothing to see, no fistula, no infection. He doesn't require any further operations. God heals. God heals still today. That is the God we serve. So Naaman and his officials went back to Elisha. And Naaman stood in front of him and he announced, now I know that the God of Israel is the only God in the whole world. See, what God wants to do is deal with our issues and our hurts and our pains. And what is the response? Worship. So what do we learn from this story? A couple of things. Number one, God is already there. When Jesus shows up on the scene, he says, I only do what I see the Father doing, John 5:19. I do nothing else. So what is it with the woman at the well? What is it with Zacchaeus in a tree that Jesus sees? God is already there with people. So we can be happy to go out in mission. Second thing is that God sees us. This girl, God knows her situation. And are we willing to be nameless, but used by God? Do we choose to love? Do we choose to love our enemies? Out of all the ways to get to Naaman, God chose a servant girl. He will choose us. The only thing we need to do is love. And then the thing she does is be bold. Remember that strong. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. When God is already there, we are safe underneath that tree. God does the impossible. But he only does the impossible in this story as she steps up to the plate. James 4 verse 8. Jesus' brother, James, says, when you turn to God, God turns to you. We need to have this active movement towards God. And then this guy comes to faith, Naaman. He becomes really generous. Are we? But at the end of the day, I would say, don't go for the money, go for God. So is God first in our lives? And then think of this wee girl. Sharing a little bit of love, all that she could do. She couldn't change the situation. Before we know it, lots of servants and kings are involved. God wants to do a big thing through us people. Tonight, I'll be sharing a little bit more about Acorn, about this practice. And it'll help us see how we've all got this kind of potential of a servant girl. And wherever you're at, however you're feeling, and the fact that you might feel like you're in that lost and lonely corner, God will do something. God is there. And the person you've been trying to reach, your daughter who's walked away, your cousin who doesn't want to listen, your boss who might be horrible to you, God is there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can learn so much from a small story like this, where we see mission happening well before Jesus sent his disciples out to make more disciples. Lord, where we see people of faith standing up and making a difference, and we see people healed and sealed and delivered, worshiping you. So, Lord, will you make us the kind of people who have compassion and who are willing to go all out for you? Amen.